From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. You know, I think the best way to introduce my guest this hour is to tell you a little bit about how I learned of him and his work. For years, various friends have said to me at one point or another, you know August Worley, right? And I say, August, no. You don't know August Worley? I said, no. Oh, my goodness, you haven't seen his Paradigm Machine? I said, no, what the heck is a Paradigm Machine? And I would hear story after story about this, you know, marvelous, magical, technological machine that has been created by this visionary who used to work with Moog. And people would say, oh, he hooks you up to this thing, and it alters your state of mind, and you have visions, and it heals you. I mean, the whole bullet list of strange and mystical and metaphysical things. And I always said, well, gosh, I would love to check that out. I mean, I'm kind of a mad scientist myself, so I'd love to see what this guy is up to. And it took me a while to get around to it. And then earlier this year, I did a wishing machine workshop in Asheville. And afterward, I was sitting at a bar with my good friend Dale Allen Hoffman, who actually just released a fantastic book, by the way, called Echoes of an Ancient Dream, Aramaic Toning on the Path of Light. We'll have to get Dale back on the show again soon to talk about his new book. But sure enough, Dale brings up August Worley. And I said, yeah, I still haven't met. Oh, my gosh, you haven't met August Worley? And he said, you got to see the Paradigm. So Dale said, look, all right, I'm going to get in touch with him right now. We're good friends, and I'm going to set up a meeting. And I only had one day open before I had to leave Asheville, but I was darn determined I was finally going to meet this legendary man. And so sure enough, Dale made the appointment. And my wife, Lauren, and I were to go to August Worley's abode, and then Dale and his lovely wife, Loretta, were going to meet us there. And Lauren and I actually arrived right on time, and it turns out Dale and Loretta were running late, and Dale says, oh, just go on inside, and we'll meet up with you soon. So we go to his house there, knock on the door. Door opens. Very friendly gentleman opens the door and welcomes us inside. And after a little bit of chit-chat, we walk toward the back of his place to what I suppose I can call the therapy room. And as we walk into the door of this room, where the first thing we see is this, you know, massage table, we hear this low, rumbling, sort of soothing, resonant sound that you could feel right in your solar plexus, a whoom. Whoom, whoom, whoom. And we turn to the left, and here is this beautiful machine sitting atop a cabinet. It looks like a wooden pyramid with all kinds of interesting little knobs and buttons on it, and a hand-cut Brazilian crystal capstone on the top, changing colors. I presume going through the different chakra colors. And so it was almost sort of like stepping through a portal into another dimension, just to go in the room where you're immediately absorbing this powerful resonant frequency. And here you see this impressive device. And I said, what in the world is this thing? Tell me, August, you know, how does this work? And after we talk about it a little bit, then he said, who wants to go first? And, of course, I raised my hand quickly, and so Lauren and I each got just a brief session, albeit a very memorable one, with this machine. Now, I'll tell you later about what I experienced And as a matter of fact, I even have some audio that we're going to play for you later, some actual audio that is sometimes used with this machine. But if you want to see for yourself what it looks like during this segment, the website for the machine is pyradym.com. So again, it's a paradigm, but it's spelled pyradym.com. We have that for your convenience linked up at speakingofstrange.com. And so, again, I'll make you kind of wait to hear more about what happens when you're hooked up. And he doesn't really hook you up to it. I mean, it's not like you go to a lab and he's hooking wires to you. It's much, much more organic than that, and we'll explain. But to get us started here, I think that said, the best thing I can do is ask my guest, Mr. August Worley, to tell us a bit about himself in general, where he's from, where he is, and the path that led him to this research. So, August, welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
Well, thank you, Joshua. It's great to be here. It's funny, I just kind of taking a step back and recounting the story that you told. It's like, oh yeah, that's right, that did happen. Oh yeah, I remember that day. Yeah, that was great. it's been an interesting trip to this point.
Yeah.
It's funny because I've been just as a mutual shout out, I've been really enjoying your Use the Force book, so much so that I'm reading it the second time, and I'm going through and dog earing and highlighting the favorite passages that strike me for future reference. And it also reminded me because the question you asked of my upbringing and my formal years, it kind of triggered a memory that I had when I must have been about 11 years old, and I went shopping with my mother to the grocery store, and we're on the way out, and there's one of those gumball machines there, and they have the little eggs in there with the different things in them, and I saw one machine, and it had the team emblems from different hockey teams. And I was really, really into hockey and all that. And so I said, Mom, can I have a quarter? Because I want to get one of those team emblem things. And she gave me a quarter. I put it in there and dialed it up. And the little egg came out. And I was so disappointed because it wasn't a team emblem inside the little egg. But what came out of the thing, it was a little image of four aces. It was a little poker hand. And it was four aces. And it said across it, luck is where preparation meets opportunity. And I saw this, and it's like, this isn't the Pittsburgh Penguins or, the Buffalo Sabres. What is this crap, But, I kind of saw, well, there might be something in there. And I put it on the refrigerator, and it was one of those sort of things that I just kind of grew up with. You put a refrigerator magnet on the refrigerator, and it kind of creeps up the refrigerator as you get older and taller. And I always remember seeing this expression, and I never quite understood it until things started to come to me, that you just really can't plan. And, say, oh, well, what a lucky man he is. Yes, I'm a very lucky person, but, luck is where preparation meets opportunity. And, I've always been prepared with my work, and then the opportunities just sort of flowed to me. And, so yes, and that in a nutshell is just kind of what kind of got me started. Is where do these things come to you? How do they come to you?
Yeah.
Where do ideas come from?
that's a great point, and thank you so much for the kind words about the book. That's one of the greatest compliments I'm receiving is that people are saying I read the book and now I'm rereading it and rereading it. At least one friend says that she now just opens it every day to a random page and just reads a passage because she thinks that's going to help set the tone for her day. And so there's no doubt about it. Reinforcing something that makes you more aware of opportunities on a daily basis only improves your life. And now in your case, your story is quite fascinating. Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a suburb of Buffalo, New York, called Depew, New York. My father was a firefighter. My mother was a housekeeper, and you know, just a normal middle class sort of upbringing. You know, played hockey as you do up in the north, and started tinkering around with electronics when I was still in high school. I built a color organ, and you know, was working with sound. I was always very attracted to sound. And, you know, my life was mainly sound and electronics. You know, I learned how to play bass and guitar and sing. So I came up as a musician, but it was always, you know, I was always very interested in the electrical aspect of it. And I actually got a 2-year degree in electrical engineering technology from a local college. And, I was actually, I really didn't have any plans after graduation from college in terms of doing anything. And a guy in my lab class said, you know, I've got a friend of mine that works at Moog Music, and they're hiring. And I said, really? They're in town? Really? Moog Music is here in town? Because, I, you know, by that time I was turned on to you know, all the bands that were using synthesizers. Bands like Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and Yes, and all these, you know, progressive rock bands, and I really didn't have a concept. I'm, you know, sort of geographically challenged, I guess. I really didn't think that. Oh wow, you know, because it's always like something that magical and that wondrous would probably be made somewhere else. You know, like, you know, just outside of Oz or something like that. You know.
Yeah.
And and so. Yeah, so I actually had a job at Moog Music as an electrical technician before I graduated college. So, you know, there's one of those kind of things where, you know, I had the degree, I had the training, and then the opportunity presented itself, and boom, there I am. I'm working at Moog Music.
So now tell us about, like, the first day or two when, you know, because Moog is such a legendary figure. I think he's even bigger now than he was 10 years ago when he died. When you first arrived on the scene, what was the environment like there, and what was he like?
Well, he had actually left the company by that time. And so, you know, I worked with everybody he had hired, though. Mm-hmm. And that was actually my introduction. And this took place 20 years later. This was after I had worked for Keith Emerson and toured with Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and had designed some equipment for Keith Emerson to use in his performance and that kind of stuff. And I was actually looking for an engineering job, and I saw that there was a an article in the Buffalo News. Where he had regained the rights to using his name again as Moog Music. When he sold his interest in the company, he had lost that ability to use his surname as part of his business practice. So he was regaining that, and I saw the article carried in the newspaper, but the last paragraph said that, you know, he said that he realized he was getting up in years and that he wanted to dump some of the stuff in his head into younger heads. And
all right, you know what?
And, you know,
I got.
You know.
Believe it or not, we're already up on our first break. That just flew right by. Okay, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, we will continue hearing this story about how August Worley perfected the sort of combination of art and vision and technology through his work, leading to the Paradigm Machine. And what the heck this thing really is and what it can do for you. Again, the website is paradym.com, PYRADYM.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of strange, we'll be right back.
A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell?
paradigm machine. Don't you like the sound of that? It just sounds right. It sounds good, doesn't it? That's what we're talking about this hour on Speaking of Strange. My name is Joshua P. Warren, and you know, I'm interviewing one of the men who, well, has been a pioneer in bringing this thing called the electronic to the organic by way of music, resonance, tones, frequencies. His name is August Worley, and his website is linked up at speakingofstrange.com. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You'll also find information about Wright's there. And, of course, the number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. Now, August is joining us from Swannanoa, North Carolina, where he now lives. And so getting back to the story, you know, you, August, you were working on some groundbreaking electronics. Tell us about sort of what you were doing and how that led you to the creation of the Paradigm Machine.
Well, I actually worked with I was working with Bob on the last synthesizer that he created called the Minimoog Voyager. I was the principal engineer. You know, back then, you know, Moog music wasn't anywhere near as big as it has since become. There was Bob and myself, and then we had a technician. So that was the design department. And so, you know, we were working full on. It was 6 day weeks, and 10 hour days, that kind of thing. And when I first had moved to Asheville, I interviewed with Bob at one of the NAMM shows, and it was the only interview that I've ever been in that kept getting interrupted by people asking for autographs. I got the job in at Moog Music, and when I started working for him, again, it was very, very intensive kind of thing. But when I first moved to Asheville, I was walking around downtown in my new hometown, and there was a sign out in front of the Haywood Park Hotel advertising a singing bowl recital. And it's like, oh, well, that's very Asheville, you know. And so I went in there to see the singing bowl recital. I've never been to a singing bowl recital. And it turned out that the guy that was doing the singing bowl recital was a Tibetan monk. And he actually made the singing bowls. And he was talking about, you know, the prayers and the energy and the focus that went into each and every hammer stroke of these singing bowls. And they were made out of brass. And they all looked like hell because some of them were hundreds of years old. They were, you know, passed down from, you know, his master's master, that sort of thing. There was a lineage there. And it was a very inspirational story. And he said, well, I'll shut up now and I'll play the singing bowls. And he had them arranged. He had about a dozen of them or so. And he had them arranged where he just sort of wove this tapestry of sound. It was just this amazing, you know, etheric quality to it. And, you know, we all walked out of there about 4 inches off the ground. And I went on the way out the door. There was a table there and there was a stack of postcards there promoting the event. And I grabbed one of them. I said, you know, I'm going to show this to Bob Moog. Because, you know, he probably would have been really tickled to come to this thing, you know. He would have been really impressed with this gentleman, and I'm going to show him this. So I took it back to the office, and I stuck it in my desk drawer, and I promptly forgot all about it, and it sat there for a couple of months. And one day it just happened to be that Bob was in my office, and we were tinkering around with the, you know, the prototype Minimoog Voyager synthesizer. And I went back in my drawer to find something, and I'm rooting around, and I found the postcard and go, oh, hey, Bob, check this out. I saw this guy when I first moved here a couple months ago, and I told him the story that I just related to you, and I handed him the postcard. And did you ever say something that just sort of falls out of your mouth and you have no idea where it came from?
Sure, all the time.
Yeah. I said to Bob, I go, wouldn't it be cool if we could do like an electronic singing bowl? And I handed him the card, and he looked at the card, and he looked at the other side of it, he handed it back to me, and he looked at me in, square in the eye, and he said, you should do this. Mm-hmm. And then he left. He walked out of the room, you know? And it was like one of those sort of things that he kind of planted the seed. And So it was a very, you know, and at the time I just sort of dismissed it. It was like, you know, kind of almost like a throwaway line, you know?
Yeah.
But then later on, I did a meditation with a group and about a year later. And I, in this meditation, I actually went somewhere. And speaking of strange, I went somewhere and I encountered this being, for lack of a better word. And it was this energetic form, and it was almost like I had known this being all my life. It was like, you know, somebody you haven't seen since second grade, but you managed to stay in contact with them, and there they finally were. And so it was like this big cosmic hug experience. And I interacted with this being through sound and through light, and it was like this form of communication that was without words. And this being would show me shapes and colors and make all these different sounds, and it was almost like we were communicating with music, but it wasn't actually specifically music. And it's like, okay, well, that was interesting. So I came back from the meditation, and I wasn't quite sure what to make of the experience until later that same week I started hearing those same sounds in my house. It was this low toning sound, this you know, this it sounded like a bunch of monks toning. And you know, I'm in the house alone, my wife was out, you know, she was at work, I was working at home, and it's one of those sort of things where, you know, you're running around the house trying to figure out where the sound is coming from. So, you know, the refrigerator's not running, the furnace isn't running, I open the sliding glass door, there's not a guy outside with a leaf blower or anything like that. It was actually coming from inside the house. And it was sort of like, oh, okay, I get it. I'm supposed to do something about creating this sound. And, you know, it's one of those sort of things when you ask the question, okay, well, I'll do it. You know, I threw my hat into the ring, I suppose. And then that's when the information all just started flowing in.
All right, that's a perfect place for us to pause and take our next break, because when we come back, I'm going to tell everybody my experience with my own brief session with this machine. And also, you were kind enough to send a little bit of the audio. We don't know how well it will come across on the radio, but we're going to play a little bit of that. And folks, I'm going to ask August to explain what the intention is when somebody goes to experience the Paradigm Machine. What's it all about? What is the experience like, in his words, and what has this done for people? Oh, boy, this is fascinating stuff. We could just go on for hours about this. Again, his name is August Worley. It's the Paradigm Machine. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. listening to Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. And, you know, if you go to the Paradym.com website, that's P-Y-R-A-D-Y-M, Paradym.com website, it says, introducing Paradym, the synergistic combination of sound and color therapy for pain relief and emotional / physical balancing. Paradym is a self-contained, electrically powered apparatus designed to stimulate and facilitate the human body's innate self-healing mechanisms. Paradym is designed for health practitioners and individuals alike, seeking a non-invasive and holistic approach to chakra alignment. And I'm Joshua P. Warren. When I went to experience this myself, very short session, I laid down on a very comfortable sort of massage-type table. I closed my eyes. My head was propped up very comfortably. I took some deep breaths and relaxed. And then then I put some headphones on, and the experience began. Let me put it this way. The first thing I can tell you is that once this session started, and we're about to play some audio for you of sort of what one of these sessions may sound like. Once the session began, immediately I kept feeling like that there was a person standing directly to my left in front of me. And as a matter of fact, I opened my eyes to see, you know, who keeps standing here. And every time I opened my eyes, well, there was nobody there. Now, granted, during the session, August is moving around the room, and he's a Reiki master, and he's doing some Reiki work. But this was not August. Lauren was sitting down, and there was definitely a tall figure that I became very aware of standing there watching me the entire time from that area. I eventually just accepted it and just, you know, kept my eyes closed. You don't have to keep your eyes closed, but I felt better that way. And I felt like I was floating. I felt completely weightless. I felt wonderfully at peace. And finally, when the session was over, I thought this had been at least 30 minutes. And when he told me it had been 7 minutes, my jaw hit the floor. I could not believe it because I absolutely lost all concept of time. And, you know, this January will mark the 13th anniversary of this program. I've been doing this show for 13 years. I've been working on radio longer than that. I'm pretty good about naturally timing things. That happens with experience. You could say to me, okay, I want you to read this and make it 30 seconds. And even if I don't have a clock there, I'll probably nail it pretty close to 30 seconds. Whatever part of the brain it is that judges time was gone. And I know that time and space are connected. So, you know, who knows how this is changing the way the brain perceives the world. But here is a brief little clip for you that August provided to give you an idea of one of these tune-ups, as he calls it. And we've selected a certain frequency that we think will come across okay on these airwaves. So Sam has this queued up. Here's a little slice of what you might hear when you're experiencing the Paradym machine. All right, Sam, I don't hear anything. Can you hear something?
It's showing as playing. I'm like, I was just wondering if I wasn't hearing the frequency that it was on.
Could be. You started at 4 minutes in, right?
Yes. It's showing me it's being at 4.5 playing.
Let me. Can you hear anything, August?
No, I can't.
And yet dogs across the country are going nuts right now.
And you can see, like, if this was like a 13 hertz roll or something, you know, yeah. Like, I didn't know, like, what I'm listening for.
There we go. There's something.
Woo!
Wow. Okay, let's listen to this for a moment. All right. So now, August, now tell us, from your perspective as an engineer, what is the human body in terms of resonance, and what does this paradigm instrument do to that resonance?
Well, if you think about your body as being a big resonant cavity to begin with, and you also think about that your body is about 99% water. I know that, you know, they say, well, it's two-thirds water, but if you actually look at it from the molecular perspective, there it's 99% water. So you've got this large bag of water that's, you know, that you're propagating a wavefront into, and so it moves through the body effortlessly. That's one of the wondrous things about sound, is that it organize mass, and it can move through mass, you know, very, very readily. It's low frequency information, which is one of the reasons I said to start the track 4 minutes in, because some of the lower chakra tones are out a little close to the edge of the bandwidth of what the radio can reproduce. But your body does respond to those low frequencies very, very well. I sort of look at it in terms of, it's a musical instrument. Well, first off, it's an electronic singing bowl, sort of the short blurb answer of it. But it's a musical instrument for people that don't play musical instruments. If you think about what a singing bowl is, basically you have to activate it continuously in order for it to make a tone. But the tone that it does make is very engaging. It creates an entrainment. And that's actually what you're experiencing with Paradigm. You're feeling the vibration, which is, and also hearing it at the same time. So it impacts you in a very different way. Because we don't just listen with our ears, we also listen with our body. And unless you're a musician that does play an acoustic instrument, for example, I came up playing double bass. And I can tell you, when you pluck that that low E string, the energy from that large moving piece of wood coupled to your body, it'll move right through your body. You can work up a sweat just playing scales. And it's not that you're working that hard. It's because your body is being resonated so strongly from the vibration of that instrument. It's coupling into your body, and it's moving energy. The other element of that is that because you are a resonant cavity, you can feel different resonances in your body depending on what frequencies you're using. So you can play that G string on the double bass, and it's like, oh, how about that? I can feel that vibration in my right knee. And then you play a G sharp, and now you're feeling it in your left big toe. It's like, well, what's that about? Well, obviously, your body is resonating with those frequencies. You are acoustically coupling to that instrument.
And of course, one of the nice things about the Paradigm machine is you can actually go in and tweak it manually, or you can set it up to automate a process for you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, when I give a session, I do it intuitively. I sort of hear it in my head and just kind of dial it up accordingly. So there is an aspect of intuition to it. But the only thing that you have to remember about playing the Paradigm machine, and this is, and now you got me calling it a machine. I did want to correct you because I got yelled at by my guides because I was calling it a device, and they said you have to. It's an instrument. A toaster is a machine where you put a piece of toast in, you push the knob down, and it makes the bread brown. That's pretty much it. It's got a very finite set of parameters of what it's designed to do, whereas a piano, they call a piano an instrument because it depends on the interpretation of the user. You know, you can look at a piano as a set of mechanisms, and it's a very, you know, it's a mechanical device, but you can sit down and play Bach or Boogie Woogie on the same piece of machinery, and that's what makes it, you know, that's what distinguishes it from a machine. It's an instrument because it's subject to your interpretation about what you want to do with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense. And by the way, we've only got a couple minutes until our next break, if that long. Start telling us a little bit about what some of the experiences are that people have when they use this instrument.
Well, it's just like you said, there's a sense of timelessness with it. Because one of the things you have to think about, the difference between music and sound. Music is sound, but sound is not necessarily music. It depends on the way it's organized that makes it so. And there's a significant level of left brain involvement when you listen to music, you know, because your brain maintains a level of awareness as you listen to the piece of music consciously. You know, you're continually evaluating it, you know, how do I like this? Do I like that? You know, you're basing it on your past experience with music. This doesn't really suspend the passage of time the same way that a continuous repetitive sound form such as paradigm generates. So it helps to focus the effective components found in all music, especially healing music, and it provides an instrument for anyone that wants to use these healing elements of sound, regardless of whether or not you're actually a music, you know, a major or musically inclined at all. I always like to ask the question when I'm in lecture. I usually ask two questions. The first question I ask, did you ever wonder why you like a piece of music? Did you ever wonder why you like a song? Why do I like this song so much? Particularly on an album. You may not like the song before it.
Sorry to cut you off, but we are up on our break. When we come back, we'll get to question two. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren. Next hour, we call the Dark 30 Hour, and that is when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial subjects and news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, so stick around if that sounds like your cup of tea. I'm wrapping up my conversation with August Worley here about the Paradigm instrument, and before we get back to what August was saying before the break, August, I have to ask you this on the air, because when I met you in person, one of the first things said to you was, you are the perfect man for me to ask this question to. Is there really a brown note that will make one crap his pants?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay,
but
keep working.
I've heard some pretty crappy notes in my day, though.
All right. If anybody would know, it would be you. But if the day ever happens and you discover it, let me know. We'll work out some kind of like super villain takeover plan. We'll hold America hostage. All right, so let's get back to question number two that you ask students and people in your audience, I should say. And then let's move into, like, you know, how our listeners can connect with you and the instrument.
Yeah. Again, if you ever listen to me lecture, I talk a lot about the intention, you know, the intention of Paradigm. The intention of the instrument is to function as a healing instrument, not as a musical instrument. You know, it uses brain entrainment techniques, as light as well as sound. It uses physioacoustic vibration, which is the essential component of low-frequency sound. That's the thing that feels good with in the bass. So you're applying that to the body. It's a beautiful instrument. I want people to fall in love with it and connect with it the way that musicians connect with their musical instruments. The other question I like to ask, because this kind of connects the two, because I was talking a little bit before about why do you like a song so much? You know, it feels good. It makes you feel good. It makes you want to dance. It makes you want to sing. There's a transcendental component to music that resonates you in a very specific way. And, you know, I majored in electrical engineering and I minored in music composition. And so dissecting songs to try to find out why that, you know, why you love them, it doesn't work. Trust me, I've tried. So, but there's a healing component. People are talking about healing music all the time. Well, if you don't like a piece of music, it's not really going to heal you. So where Paradigm functions is to offer a broad palette of sound sculpting ability, but without actually being music. Because you also get into, okay, so where does healing come from? Because now we're talking about some very esoteric concepts. Why do I like a song is very esoteric. And where does healing come from is another very esoteric song or a concept. Because as a Reiki master, I can tell you, rule number one, Reiki 101, is you can't make anybody heal. All you can do is facilitate. That's all anybody can do. That's all doctors can do. That's all acupuncturists can do. All we can do is facilitate. After that, it's, you know, it's a negotiation between the individual and what they perceive to be their maker. So, you know, so now we're talking about a very esoteric aspect of healing. Well, if you think about healing, we're healing right now. We heal on a daily basis. Our body literally deconstructs itself and reconstructs itself on a cellular level every minute of every day. And what this instrument is designed to do is to energize the human body and facilitate those processes. If you remember what the bleep, there was a guy in there, Professor John Hagelin, who's got credentials as long as your arm. He's a quantum physicist of great renown. And he dropped it. He said, the most sophisticated pharmacy in the universe is right in here. And he pointed to his chest. And when you think about where does healing come from, you cannot, nothing you can put into your body from outside is going to substitute for the healing that your body can create within itself, because it does it every day. The blueprint is already there. What Paradigm is designed to do is to facilitate that. It relaxes you. It takes you out of your body. It suspends the passage of time. It lets you go very deep into a meditative state. It helps to stimulate your adrenal systems. It stimulates your bone marrow into increased structural strength and blood production, blood cell production. It's like a sonic massage. We're massaging the endocrine lymphatic system. We're internally massaging the small musculature and the capillaries. A lot of people report tingling in their feet and in their fingers and in their nose and in their earlobes. It's getting in there, and it's massaging your body in places that a massage therapist can't get to.
All right, we've got a minute left. Other than going to paradigm.com, and, of course, again, that's PYRADYM.com, anything else you want people to know who would like to experience this?
The instrument, they are custom-made. I make everyone individually, and it's part of the entrainment, and the intention is that I make an instrument for an individual. I don't pull one off the shelf and stick it in a box like, you know, they would at Walmart. So these are custom-made. It's a $4,400 instrument. It takes between 6 and 8 weeks to complete one. There's two different finishes available, in cherry and in a natural maple color. I love people to love the instrument. They've got a great track record. I've never had one back for repairs.
Well, August, I tell you what, you have done fascinating work and great work, and I can't thank you enough for what you're doing, and it's been a real pleasure to become your friend and to have you on Speaking of Strange. You have a great Christmas, my friend.
You too, Joshua. Thank you very much, and bless you.
All right. Bless you. There you have it, folks. August Worley, the Paradigm Machine. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and Speaking of Strange, we'll be right back.